Man, put your hands for the celebrate the goodness of God, the grace of God in this house. Man of God, we celebrate you. We celebrate you in this house. You're welcome, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. It truly is my joy and honor to be here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While standing, I truly want to, from the depth of my heart and without being careless with words, to honor our Father and our Mother, Daddy and Mommy. Wale Oke, God bless you, Daddy, in the name of Jesus Christ. Daddy, I want to thank you, among many reasons, for the gift of access, for your reaching out to our generation and your intention and determination to see us last and to see us rise. We honor you, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll not tell you what Daddy told me when I sat here. It's between me and him. But if I were you, I would shout a loud amen. Hallelujah. I equally want to honor every man and woman of God here. I honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I trust that the session we'll have, by the privilege of God's grace, will contribute to our growth, our maturity, and our understanding in the name of Jesus. Let me at the same time salute and honor this great ministry for 40 years of this convention, this conference. It is amazing what the Lord can do. Hallelujah. And we'll keep learning and building our own lives, and we trust that when we are 40 years of impact, that the nations will be able to celebrate Jesus over our lives. In Jesus' name. May I request that we lift our hands to heaven and ask the Lord to visit us and to give us an encounter even by His word. Is someone praying? Please lift your voice, lift your hands to heaven. The Bible says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Someone is asking the Lord for an encounter. Oh, be lifted above all other gods. We lay our crown and worship. You be lifted above all other gods, we lay our crown and worship. Sing, all glorious God, all glorious God, we praise your name. We lay our crown. One more time. Sing, all glorious God, all glorious God, we praise your name. We lay our crown and worship. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts tonight. And in the name of Jesus, may your word come with fire. Lift us to higher levels in the name of Jesus. And let the revelation that you have in store for us, indeed let it be sent with precision and accuracy. And to you be all the glory. For in Jesus' matchless name we pray. God bless you and thank you. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm teaching along the theme, Psalm 24, and we'll read verse 7 to 8 for reference, and then we'll begin to teach Psalm 24. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? These were the gates asking now. So the gates were living, they were alive, even though ancient. They said, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He's giving definition and he's giving perspective to this King of glory. The Lord mighty in battle. Verse 9, reading to 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. The last verse. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I'm teaching tonight on the topic, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord strong and mighty. And for our introduction, I would like to state here, I wrote here, that the quality of your Christian experience, the quality of your Christian experience and your faith work is dependent on your experience with God. Our fathers have taught us, the Bible has taught us, that the quality of your walk with God, your faith adventure, is directly proportional to the experience that you have with God. Your exploits depends on your encounters. The Bible is full of men who had encounters with God, and we see from scripture the corresponding exploits that validated those encounters. Are we together? That means for two believers saved by the same God, they may have different experiences, which is a reflection of the kind, the quality, and the depth of encounters that they had with God. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, the verse 32, the B part for the sake of time, it says, but the people, not everyone, the people that do know their God, not that do know God, their God. It says two things will happen to them as a testament that they know God. Number one is strength, capacity, stamina. Number two is that their life will be a plethora of different shades of exploits. Are we together? So the people that do know their God, the condition for strength and for exploits is your experience with God. Is God speaking to us already? So if I desire a life that demonstrates strength and capacity, a life of exploits, the Bible recommends the pathway as having an experience with God. This is the first information that I want us to have tonight. The second thing I want us to have tonight is that God reveals himself dimensionally. Exodus chapter 6, please give us from verse 1, we'll read down to 3. God reveals himself dimensionally. God is almighty, he fills all and in all, but in revealing himself to his sons and daughters, he fragments himself into different dimensions so that we can learn him progressively. Are we together? In Exodus chapter 6, beginning from verse 1, this was an encounter between the God of the Bible and Moses. Then the Lord said unto Moses, the Bible says, now shall thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. It says, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Verse 2. And God spake to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. He's revealing himself now. Verse 3. Can we read verse 3 together if you can see it projected? Ready? 1-2 read. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. The same God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Almighty, but he did not reveal that dimension of him as Jehovah. Are we together now? One of the ways that we know God. Now, theologically speaking, there are four biblical ways to know God. The Bible says in John 17 and verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. There are four biblical pathways to knowing God. Number one is through scripture. The Bible says, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise, even unto salvation. So we learn God through scripture. In the knowledge of scripture is a revelation of the character of God. Number two, we know God by studying his names. It is in the character of God to capture his dimensions when he reveals dimensions of himself. That dimension is preserved in a name, so that any generation that wants to see that dimension will study that name. When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, pray thus, our Father which art in heaven. Then he says, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means we give reference to the various dimensions that consist in you. We are not careless. We do not neglect them. Jireh will provide for you. Jireh will provide, but he will not bring you healing. If you want healing, you must study Rapha. Are we together now? Now listen carefully. Rapha can bring you healing, but it will not bring out a Christ-like personality in you. You have to study Sikenu, the righteousness of God. So God fragments himself into different dimensions. We know him by learning his names. The third way we know God as revealed from the Bible is by studying Jesus. Jesus, who is the incarnate of the Father. Are we together now? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, when you begin to read from verse 1, it says, God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in time past through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things. Is that true? The Bible calls him the express image of the invisible God and upholding all things by the word of his power. So it's important for us to know that one of the reasons why Jesus came to the earth was not just to die for our sins. Are we together? Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came as a manuscript to correct our understanding about the invisible God we never met. There were many things in the Old Testament that were attributed to God. It was the ignorance of the prophets, because they saw in part and they prophesied in part. So Jesus came as a correction of our understanding about God. Are we together? Everything that God was, we have a right to judge it and vet it using the reference Jesus. So when the Bible says God is love, I have a right to reject that statement until I find that statement captured in Jesus. Everything the prophet said God was and we did not see in the life of Jesus, we have a right to question it. So Jesus came as perfect theology. The Father had this verdict about Jesus, that he was his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. Are we together? And the final way we learn God from scripture is through experience. Job said, the things that I have heard, now my eyes have seen. There is a place for experience in knowing God. So back to our discussion. That number one, the quality of your Christian experience and your faith adventure is dependent on your experience with God. And then number two, that God, in revealing himself to the saints, he reveals himself dimensionally. Are we together? Dimensionally.
Now we will understand Psalm 24. Now, if you really want to understand what happened in Psalm 24, this was a discussion that was about ownership and dominion in the earth. Verse 1 says the earth is the Lord's. Number 2, the fullness, talks of the resources. Number 3, the walls, the mind control system. Number 4, the inhabitants. Are we together? It says, for he has founded it upon the waters and established it upon the sea. And then it says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? It says, he that has clean hearts and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. As a result, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Are we together? Then it says, this is the generation of them that seek you in the similitude of Jacob. That's another discussion. You have to go and study Jacob as God's. God personifies his pattern for encounters using the man Jacob. That means if you want an encounter with God, the biblical figure for your study is Jacob. Then it now says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. This right here was a prophetic statement that was speaking about the Messiah Jesus. Are we together? This was a discussion that was happening at his resurrection. We may not have the time to look there, but it's important for us to understand the perspective. These gates and doors are not metallic objects. The gates and doors were spirits. Are we together now? The Bible says there are gates and there are doors. Remember, Jesus was speaking and he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And it says the gates of hell. So the word gates there is a prophetic expression. It does not just mean bars. They are spirits. These are the spirits that interface the realm of the spirit and the earth. And according to the law of territory, if you lose this body, if there is a separation between your body and the spirit, you are no longer authorized to return until someone on earth calls you back. Are we together now? It is impossible for resurrection to happen until someone who is on earth calls you back. Now, nobody was calling Jesus back, and yet he was coming. So the gates had a right to question him. Are we together now? When Lazarus died, it took someone who was already in the earth domain, because dominion was not given outside the earth. The jurisdiction of dominion is the earth here. So by what authority? Who is this guy without somebody calling him? No human being was participating in his resurrection. The gate said, we will not open. It is against the law. We are ancient gates. Everybody we are allowed to enter here was by a decree from someone in the earth. That's why the gate said, who is this King of Glory? Who is this King? We've not heard about him. We've heard about Lazarus. We've heard about the young boy. We've heard about all kinds of people. But who is this one called the King of Glory? And there was an answer from heaven. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in what battle? You go to the Pauline epistles to learn. Having spoiled principalities and powers. This is it now. He made a public show of them, triumphing over them in judgment. It's in your Bible that he went to Hades and preached the gospel to the saints that were trapped there. They believed in him and he led them forth triumphantly as the firstborn among we the begotten. He was no longer the only begotten son. So this discussion here was at the point of resurrection. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I wish I had time to deal with this scripture. Do you know the beginning of Psalm 24 is a context about ownership? The kings of the earth were growing in pride, claiming and fighting land, and there was a need to settle the issue of ownership of the earth. So a condition was given. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? The person who qualifies to do that, the earth is really his own. Are we together? No man could pass that test except he who is called the King of Glory. And the Bible says the dimension of him that qualified him to be called the King of Glory is that he is the Lord strong and mighty. The fact that he has strength and might is what gave him the credence to be called the King of Glory. Because kings in ancient times did not become kings by election. It was by conquest. Are we together? They were deserving of their positions in and through conquest. Let's look at a few things and then we'll pray. To understand God, I wrote here, as the King of Glory. You may want to write, please. To understand God as the King of Glory, you must understand the extent of his power and might. You will never truly understand God as the King of Glory until you understand him as the Lord strong and mighty. That means if you want to understand that he's the King of Glory, you have to explore the vastness of his power and his might. Let's look at a few scriptures that talk to us about the extent of the power of this great God. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Let's rush for the sake of time. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth." How? By thy great power. It was not by suggestion you made the heavens and the earth. It took power for the earth to come into being. It says, "And thy outstretched arm, there is nothing that is too hard for you." Please say amen. Amen. Psalm 62 and verse 11. Psalm 62 and verse 11. 62 and verse 11. 11. "God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God." He was not given, it is his own. Now, the dominion of the saints, there are two levels of dominion. There is absolute dominion and there is shared dominion. The dominion that the saints have is not absolute dominion. Our dominion is derived from our relationship with God. That means we have to depend on him for our dominion to be functional. Are we together? But his dominion is absolute dominion, because the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." That means the beginning met God there. It's not that he was in, we were products of the beginning, but he produced the beginning. So his dominion is absolute. "I have spoken once, twice have I heard that all power belongs to God." Do you know why it is important for you to study the vastness of God's power? So that when you know him as the Lord strong and mighty, you will be able to believe him for anything in your faith adventure. Scripture number 3, Deuteronomy chapter 26 from verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 26. It says, And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. We're reading to 9, verse 7. It says, "And when we cried to the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked upon our affliction and our labor and our oppression." Verse 8. "And the Lord brought us forth out with a mighty hand." Say mighty hand. It says, "And with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders." Verse 9. "And he had brought us into this place and had given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey." That's how powerful God is. He can bring you out of into. Let me say it again. He can bring you out of into. So if you see me in a realm that I was not there yesterday, don't ask who brought me there. The mighty God who can bring men out. That means where you are right now, it is possible that by this time tomorrow, the King of Glory would have shifted you. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus. He brought us out of. There are people who can bring men out of, but it takes power to bring you into. I can take you out of trouble, but can I bring you into prosperity? The one who has the power to take men out of, my goodness, this is already a revelation for someone, that no matter where you are, you know that God can change your life. He can take you. Get it as a revelation. The King of Glory takes men out of, then into. He can take you out of a rented apartment and into your Rehoboth. He can take you out of a life of weakness and spiritual bankruptcy into a life of strength. Don't ask how Saul becomes Paul. He met the one who takes men out of into.
There is nothing you cannot do.
Listen to what you are singing.
If he has said it, then he...
Let me explain to you what you just said. Be patient. That means it is sin to say what you cannot do. The Bible says every man who ministers should minister according to the measure of grace. That means if you say what is higher than your level of grace and anointing to you, it is sin. Every man sustains the ability to vet his level in the spirit before speaking. The Bible says when God speaks, he finds out whether he's able to make what he says come to pass. So anything you hear God say is the conclusion of testing that reality against his power. That means if God looks at you and calls you victorious, the power dimension that makes that word not look like a lie is released immediately. The Bible says, and God said, and he saw, and that what he saw was good. That is the litmus test for spiritual power. When you say it, and it becomes, and what becomes is good. A centurion said, for I am a man under authority, having men under me. I say to one, go, and he goeth. I say to another, come. He said, you too, I know you are under the authority of heaven. Speak the word only. And he said, who taught you this? I've not found this kind of faith, this understanding. Who mentored you this much to know the power of the spoken word, that you can say something? Let me stand upon the grace of our Father and speak over someone's life. In the name that is above all names, I speak to you by the power that raised Christ from the dead. Everything that represents reproach, may the King of Glory drive it like smoke before the wind. Please sit down. Are we together? Let's pay attention so we can find somewhere to pray. So the Bible says to understand the implication of God being the King of Glory, you have to study his strength and study his might. That is the basis of him being enthroned as the King of Glory. The King of Glory must be the one who is strong and mighty. The one who is not strong and he's not mighty cannot be the King of Glory. What is the result of this revelation? What does it mean to know God as strong and mighty? There are three things that this revelation does to your Christian work, your faith adventure. Knowing God as strong and mighty, having a revelation of the vastness of his power and his might. There are three things it does to you. Very quickly, let me run through them. Number one, the result of knowing God as strong and mighty, studying the vastness of his strength. Number one, it imparts upon you the spirit of faith. The first assignment of that revelation of the Lord God being strong and mighty is that it imparts upon you the spirit of faith. It gives you the confidence to live out your divine destiny without fear. We live in a world where it is human to bully people based on all kinds of biases and prejudices. But when you know that the one who backs you is the one who is strong and mighty, it gives you audacity. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no guarantees anywhere in life. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Not your uncle, not your auntie, not even your certificate, even your faith. Faith being the name given to the conviction you have about God. I know whom I have believed, he said, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Hebrews chapter 11 archives the exploits of those that the Bible in simple terms will call elders. It starts from verse 1 by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It calls it the evidence of things not seen. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand. We were not there, but we know through faith that the walls, the aeons, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things that do appear. When you now read on, it says, time will fail me to talk of Gideon and Jephthah and Barak, men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, women received their dead back to life. The exploits of faith. I believe him. That is the conclusion of a revelation of his might. Because you see, when you make bold verdicts, life was already authorized to test it. Before you stand before Pharaoh, make sure you have had an encounter with the Lord strong and mighty. Because Pharaoh also is a wizard. Giving him an information that you met God will not scare him. Make sure you have the evidence of the rod becoming a serpent. Make sure you have the power to turn water to blood. And all this happens when you encounter the God of the Bible. The three Hebrew boys said, we love you and we respect you. But as touching the matter of our faith, O king, it is because we respect you. It's not because we are weak. We will not bow. There is something we know about God. Faith. A fearful believer is one who has not had an experience with the Lord who is strong and mighty. There is something about the might of God that if revealed, as a man of God, you will know that the only limitation you have is process and the voice of the Spirit, not obstacles. Because the Lord is strong and mighty. As a businessman, you can know that God sustains the ability to take you how far and to take you ever far, and that on the strength of that revelation. So let's tie up a few things that I've said now. That number one, the extent of your exploit in this kingdom depends on your experience with God. Are we together now? Yes. That you are able to be strong in this kingdom to the degree to which you know your God. Number two, that in revealing himself to men, God reveals himself dimensionally. Are we together? He fragments himself into different dimensions that are captured and preserved in his names. So every name of God contains within it an experience. And when you explore that name, with it you explore an experience that will give you experiential knowledge about God. You cannot know the King of Glory until you know the one who is strong and mighty. And I said the blessings that follow the revelation of the strength and the might of God is number one, an impartation of the spirit of faith. Let's read Daniel chapter 3. I'll handpick a few verses for the sake of time. Daniel chapter 3, let's do 15 and 16, then we'll jump to 19 and see how far we'll go. Now, this was the story of the three Hebrew boys being compelled to bow to that 90 feet stature. Now, if ye be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, and all of that, it says, ye fall down and worship the image I have made. Listen to an audacious statement. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then the king made a mistake and made a very arrogant statement. And who is that God that shall deliver you from my hands? And the patience of the young boys was stretched. Next verse, 16. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you on this matter, as questioning the might and the power of this God that we represent. Verse 17. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace fires, and he will deliver us out of your hand. 18 says, even if he chooses not to deliver us, let it be known to you that we will not bow. When you read from verse 19 to 30, the king was aggrieved, are we together, on the strength of what they had said. And he made them to make the fire seven times hotter, to the extent that those who threw them died of that fire. Your spiritual experience will be a reflection of your knowledge of God. Two people can step into the same situation, and their realities will be defined by the God they know, not the situation they are in. Are we together? So it is possible for two believers to have the same experience. One will triumph as if the devil does not exist. The flames of the fire killed those who made it hotter. And yet the Bible says the three Hebrew boys, when they entered, they were moving around, their hands, their bands, you know, were loosed, and that they saw the likeness of the fourth one looking like the Son of God. At the end of it, you will see that a verdict and a decree came. He made a very strong decree that honored the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say the Lord strong and mighty. Apostle, what guarantee do I have that I will live a great life? There are no physical guarantees, sadly. There are no governmental guarantees. There are no educational guarantees. There are no sociological guarantees. Vain is the help of man. Your guarantee is the revelation. Are we together? The revelation. So God can send you to a place where you do not have any human connection, and you know the one who sent you. He said, when I sent you, lackest thou anything? Because the Lord strong and mighty stands before you like a mighty, terrible one. Are we blessed? For sake of time, you may write this down just for reference. We look at the story of David and Goliath. We may not have the time to read, but please write for reference. First Samuel, when you read First Samuel from verse, First Samuel 16 down to 17, you read everything, the entire verse. It talks about the young boy David. Now David was a shepherd. Are we together? And in carrying out his duty, he experienced something about the God who was strong and mighty. With that strength upon him, he tore the mouth of the bear and the lion. One time, this six-footed beast called Goliath of Gath was threatening even the warriors of Israel. And Saul, alongside his men, the Bible records, they were afraid. And he kept threatening them every day, bring me a man that I would fight. And the young boy went to serve his brother's food as a teenager. And he heard the beast roaring. And he said, please, can I know what is going on there? And he said, this man is looking for a man to fight him. And he stood with confidence and said, what shall it be done to this man? He was already discussing the rewards. Because as far as victory is concerned, now you need to understand the stature. Listen. You need to understand the stature of the man he was talking about. Six fingers, six toes. Goliath of Gath. The brothers were angry and they said, leave this place. He said, let me tell you something I have not told you. I am not standing on my own strength. One time while I was a shepherd, the lion came. I know what the king can do even in the jungle. This man, the king of glory, who is strong and mighty, even mighty through me, is able to act valiantly over this man. Finally, he convinced Saul. And when he stood there, Goliath came like every other day and saw a tiny boy. Don't blame Goliath. I would do the same thing. He said, am I a dog? I will kill you, but at least respect me. Let me know I fought, not played. You thought David would keep quiet. When he was done talking, David said, listen now. You come to me with your spears and bows, but I come in a name. Hold on. Life will treat you based on what is the basis of your advancement. You can come in a certificate. You can come in a connection. David said, I would be stupid to fight you with a sword. I come in a name. My weapon is the name. Someone, you need to hold that name and take it, and with it, that is the name that will build you the house. It is Jireh that will build the house, not cement and block. It is Rapha that will bring the healing. We confront challenges with the dimension of God that has been preserved for our learning and our growth. This is why we wax valiant based on revelation. I come to you in a name. And then he now went further to prophesy. He understood James chapter 2 and verse 26 that a body without a spirit is dead. He had killed the spirit by that boldness. He knew that Goliath was a body, and if without a spirit, he's dead. And he said, let me tell you what will happen to you. I will bring you down with this sling. When you are down, it is your own sword that I will use, and I will feed your flesh to the birds. And Goliath said, all right, the Bible says he ran towards him. The people that do know their God ran towards him. Ran towards him. Ran towards him. The spirit of faith is the first effect of having the revelation of the Lord who is strong and mighty. Are we together? Number two, what is the second effect? In fact, let me wrap up this first one. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus and having strengthened them across a number of faith areas. He now tells them in 6 verse 10, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Do you know what that means? Out of the abundance of that revelation you have had, Amplified says, draw your strength from your union with him. Let the awareness that you are one with him, let it strengthen you and give you audacity. Draw your strength, be empowered through your union with him. There are people who will rise from these meetings who will do things that when people ask you, the only thing you will be able to say is to call the name that backed you. Listen, we are not much in ourselves. The Bible clearly tells us that our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Are we together? The amplification factor in the life of any man doing exploits is the name he has found. The name of the Lord is so mighty it can become a strong tower that the righteous will enter and he is saved. A strong tower is not the only thing the name of God can become. It can become a shield and a defense. Are we together? Aaron was commanded to bless the nation of Israel, and the Lord said upon that blessing he will put his name. And that is the reason why they will be blessed indeed, because his name is upon the speaking. Number two, what is the second effect of having the revelation of the Lord strong and mighty? Are you ready? Supernatural empowerment to demonstrate the might and the power of God to your world. So the first implication is access to the spirit of faith. Second is supernatural empowerment. Supernatural empowerment to demonstrate the might and the power of God to your world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible clearly tells us that we are ambassadors. An ambassador is an extension of the conviction, an extension of the value, and the promoter of the interests of another. Is that true? When you call someone a brand ambassador, it means everything about the life of that person should reflect who he's representing. So if it is true that we are ambassadors, then if he is the Lord strong and mighty, it means captured within the frame of your Christian experience should be a revelation of that truth. Not just from God, but through you. We are ambassadors, the Bible says. Are we together? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, the Bible tells us how to preach the gospel fully. Let's read together. Ready? The complete gospel is that which captures the dimension of God. The power of God must be represented in your gospel for it to be complete. Through mighty signs and wonders, he says, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. That means if the only thing I say is the message, it is not complete. It must be the message and the power component revealed, even in my gospel. Are we learning? In John chapter 4 and verse 48, Jesus was speaking and he said, except ye see signs and wonders, he said, ye shall not believe. There is a world and a generation that is clamoring for an experience of God. Are we together? The way God designed his system and his economy is that his words precede his power, but they are never alone. Every time you see the word of God, behind it, the power of God is following. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus was speaking to them. Remember when he resurrected, he gathered them and for a period of 40 days, he kept teaching them on the matters of the kingdom. And they asked him a question. They said, will you at this time restore the nation of Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put within his care. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, he said they would receive power. And he says, the power will make you a witness. That means it takes more than being there to be a witness. It takes more than seeing what happened to be a witness. It takes power to be a witness. You will be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. One last scripture. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. I love this scripture. It has inspired me for many years. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon how many? There are certain things in the spirit that are for some. Like the fivefold he gave unto some. But when it has to do with access to power and grace, great grace can come on them all. Are we blessed? I wish I had the time. I would have explained something a bit about the power of God that I think, respectfully speaking, we're not really getting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, Paul, again mentoring the church in Ephesus, he made a very instructive statement. He says, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, he says, Christ is the power of God. The word Christ there comes from the word Christos, the anointed. It also means the anointing. So when the anointing of the Spirit is revealed, it has a twofold operation. The anointing is revealed as the power of God, and the anointing is revealed as the wisdom of God. Are we together? There are people whose problems do not require power. It requires the anointing, but as the wisdom of God. So when you fall under the anointing and stand up, you need to find out what you received. For someone, it may be that what came upon you is the wisdom and the insight. Speaking about wisdom, he said, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. He says, with me are riches, wealth and honor, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Most times, our focus on the power, the charisma, that dimension of, and sometimes we rob ourselves of the wisdom of God. When the anointing is revealed, you must look forward to these twofold dimensions. Revealed as the power of, if you are sick, you don't need the wisdom of God there. What you need is the power of God as his ability to correct and adjust things. Are we together? But there are decisions, destiny decisions. They don't require power. They require wisdom. When you know the Lord strong and mighty, you can access realms of power and realms of wisdom that are way beyond your level of exposure, way beyond even your physical orientation. This is why when they match your result to your personality, if it is God that helped you, it should not match. Are we together?
Yes.
If they look at your exploits and look at who is behind it, something should look unfair there as a proof that you have outsourced the wisdom wherein you have used for that exploit. Someone shout amen. So, the spirit of faith, number two, gives you access to the anointing, the power of God. Spiritual empowerment is very important in our faith adventure. Number three, very quickly, and then we'll pray. Has God blessed someone? What is the third implication of having that revelation of the King of Glory as the Lord strong and mighty? I wrote down here, the third effect, the third implication is that praise will continually rise from the world of men unto the King of Glory. When you have a revelation of the power and the might of God, it will compel praise perpetually. Every time you study scripture, you will see that when there was a display of the manifold power and the wisdom of God, what emanated from that experience was praise. It is impossible to be silent when you see the Lord strong and mighty in action. Let me give you three scriptures and then we'll pray. Psalm 107. The full text is from verse 8 to 32, but I'll just read one or two verses for the sake of time. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." Why would they praise him? It tells you the reason. "For his goodness and for his wonderful works." Where? "To the children of men." You read down to 32, you will find it there. "Oh, that men." It's an instruction. It's a strong admonishment that every time you see the goodness of God and his wonderful works done to the children of men, praise must emanate from you. That means praise is not supposed to be something that is mechanical. There is a place where you praise him in advance. But believe me, your life can be perpetually full of praise because your life will be a plethora, an episode of the wonder-working power of God per day. Notice the people who experience the power of God. Even when Jesus asked them to keep quiet, they were too grateful to be silent. There is something about the nature of authentic power. When the Lord strong and mighty is revealed, there is something about the design of the human nature that stops you from being silent in the presence of something spectacular. This is the basis of media. Media sells because of that intrinsic construct in men. It is impossible to see something spectacular and yet be silent. At best, you will select who hears it. But you will not be silent. Are we together? Praise. In Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. From verse 25 to 27. "Then King Darius wrote unto the people, the nations, the languages that dwell in the earth." He's writing a letter now. "Peace be multiplied unto you." Next verse, please. "I make a decree." Who is speaking now? The king. The once arrogant king who said, "Let me see who will deliver you from my hand." Now, by reason of the wonder-working power of the Lord strong and mighty, he's not ashamed. What an honest king. Even though arrogant, he was honest. In the presence of that which was superior, he used his hand to write and to speak a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. I don't know his name, but I know the individual that has revealed that unique expression of him. I've not had the time to study him. May people call God even by your name. May people say, I don't know the name of this God, but I have found out that the God of Bishop Wale Oke, there is something about the expression of God through his life. The God of Abraham is still the God of Isaac. He's still the God of Jacob, but the dimensions are different. What the God of Abraham will do for you is different from what the God of Isaac will do. Your assignment is to use your lifetime to give God a name. Brand his name through your walk with him for generations to learn him. that at the end of your faith walk, you would have introduced a dimension of God as captured by your experience. Let's wrap up. The king is making a decree. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Look at the sermon that one manifestation of power gave a king. An orientation without Bible school. In a moment, he learned God through the spectacular manifestation. For someone, your testimony is about to be a devotional for people. Listen to what you heard me say. A devotional is not what you read once. That by reason of what God does through your life, someone will be using your life as a template to study God. Paul calls us living epistles. That means your life should be a continuation of someone's Bible study. As he closes his Bible, the study should not close. Something about the workings of God in your life should be the continuity of his learning. When someone is feeling guilty that I didn't read my Bible today, at the sight of you, he finds hope and comfort. I can keep learning God from a life that has been able to capture a rich heritage of the Lord, strong and mighty.
But only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end.
Listen to this song.
There are names, there are titles, there are legends and tales of strength, but only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. There are thrones, there are kingdoms, there are mountains and there are kings, but only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end.
Let's wrap up that scripture. 26. The king is making a decree. Daniel, I make a decree. He says forever his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. The last verse, 27. He said he delivereth and rescueth. This man did not go to church to learn this. He watched God, the Lord strong and mighty, walking through a man, and it provoked praise that he threw aside his reputation to stand and declare the greatness of God. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Let me wrap up by saying this. The King of Glory cannot be understood until the Lord strong and mighty is understood. Understanding the King of Glory is understanding his might and his strength. He's not a king because he was voted to power. He's a king because no one else can be king. There are people who become kings. I was watching the election in Kenya, and you know, they just upheld the other party, and you know, by the privilege of God's grace, when I was there, I had the opportunity to meet both parties and to have a discussion with them and just to encourage them for the sake of this. Listen, if there's a verdict, you accept it, this and that and that. But you see, for God, it's not like another party won called Jesus Party or God Party by 254 and then there was election malpractice. Even if God keeps the position, there's nobody to take it.
He shall reign.
Please stand.
He shall reign. He shall reign forevermore. Emmanuel. God is with shall reign. He shall reign.
Let me lend a minute or two to make a very important call. John chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus lifted up his eyes unto heaven and he prayed and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify now thy Son, that thy Son may glorify you. When we get to verse 3, he says, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. There are many keys of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom, but there is only one key to the kingdom, and that key is Jesus. The Bible declares there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Are we together? And I don't want to take for granted that even though this is a very spiritual gathering, that someone is here, because the Bible declares that the Lord added daily, not as many who should be transformed, as many who should be saved first. That means everywhere there is a gathering of God's people, there is always someone there sent from God to be saved. I'm going to make two altar calls in one right now. Number one, for those who are saying, Apostle, it's an honor to have listened to the things that you have shared, and here at this convention, I've been convicted hearing you speak. I do not know this king. I'm like Darius. I have seen what God has done through our father, Babawale Oke, but I do not know him for myself. Unfortunately, those who will do exploits are the people who know their God. He can start as someone's God, but the process should later evolve him to become your God. It must never stop as the God of another. He must become your God. They told the woman at the well, we believe, not because of what you have said again. We came because of your testimony. But having met him, we know that he is now our God. The second group of people are those who, maybe you have made this decision at one point in your Christian experience, and then for some reason things have gone haywire, and right now you know, even by the conviction of the Spirit. For the Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he said he will guide you in all truth. He says that he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And whilst you are seated there, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying you can make it right. I'm going to make a call for these two groups in one. You want to make things right tonight so that you can know the King of Glory. He can be strong and mighty in your life. He can be strong and mighty in your destiny. Wherever you are, I will count 1 to 5 for sake of time. I want you to leave your seat very confidently and come and stand before the King of Glory. I begin my counting now. 1. Young and old, be bold. Come before the King. 2. Win that war of destiny once and for all. If you are coming, please run. If there are people coming from outside, let's hurry up so that we can redeem time. 3. Believers, are you celebrating salvation? The King of Glory wants to give you an experience. For the word is nigh thee in your mouth and your heart, even the word of faith which we preach. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess Jesus with your mouth, believing him in your heart, you shall be saved. Come to Jesus. Doesn't matter how far. Please come quickly.
I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
Hallelujah. Listen. An altar call is a very serious call. Most times, people come out for altar calls and they don't even say anything. They pinch themselves. They play around. The truth is, they are not saved. There is a spiritual pattern allocated for the administration of salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, when you read from verse 8 to 10, it says there must be an activity between your heart and your mouth for salvation to be administered. Coming is only a way of seizing the people and then helping to guide them make that decision. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, hear me. It is not coming out that gets you saved. In fact, it is not even a spiritual recitation that gets you saved. The sincerity of this conviction by the Spirit in your heart, then verbalized by your confession of faith, is what qualifies for the administration of salvation. For the Bible says, this is the record, the testament, that God hath given us eternal life. But he constructed the administration of eternal life such that you must encounter the Son to have life. You cannot have this life without meeting the Son. So I congratulate you standing upon the grace of our Father. It is an honor to welcome you to this family of faith. May I please request, by the way, for those who are watching by way of television or watching online, you are following from across the globe, right in your home, your office, here is an opportunity for you to make Jesus Lord of your life. There is no distance, there is no barrier here at this conference. Under the leadership and the grace of our Father, Bishop Wale Oke, it's my honor to lead you to Jesus. As we pray this prayer, I want you to pay attention and to pray that prayer. For some, you may be listening by way of a rebroadcast. He can come to you in the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand. Say this after me. Say it loud and clear. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I declare that I love you. I declare that I believe in you, that you are the Son of the living God. I ask you to forgive my sin and I receive your life. I declare that you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and you are my King. I also declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God. I am a recipient of eternal life. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name. Please keep your hands lifted. Father, we thank you. The Bible declares that as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, even among them that are sanctified. And according to your confession of faith, I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. You go forward ever and backward never in Jesus' name. May I please request that you follow the counselors. There is a board there. Just follow them orderly. Let's honor them as they go. Please be careful with the crane so it doesn't injure you. Hallelujah. 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 I want to stand upon the grace of our Father. And Daddy, thank you again for this opportunity. I do not take it for granted. I am truly honored and truly grateful. I have the honor of speaking over our lives. Kings rule by their words. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, not the word of a man, where the word of a king is. Psalms 82 and verse 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6 says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. 7 says, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. In the name that is above all names, I stand upon the grace of our Father and every servant of the living God here represented, and I declare, the same way the gates open for the King of Glory to come in, every gate that has been closed over your life and destiny, we speak to it now. Ephata, be open. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Gates of new dimensions. Gates of new seasons. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that Peter was bound hand and glove, and 8 soldiers were protecting him. Verse 5 says, but prayer was made of the church unto God for him. And an angel came. And the Bible says when the angel tapped him, the first gate opened. The second gate opened. Listen, he said he came to the iron gate that opens to the city. There is a gate that controls influence. If that gate is open, what you see in front of you is the city. I prophesy to you that everything that has buried your influence, may the one who can cut the bars of iron and break the gates open, may he swing open the gates for you. And then he says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang. And the Bible says the people in the prison heard them. Suddenly there was an earthquake and a sound. And the Bible says, and all doors opened. They needed only one door. But when the King of Glory came, all doors, so that others too can pass. I decree and declare, may that all door anointing open every closed door in your life. Hallelujah. All blessings come from God through men to men. It doesn't just come from God to men. Men have always been midwives. The Bible says the king sent for Joseph. It took the king sending for the prison to be opened. Whoever must send for you, in the name that is above all names, may the Father of spirits, the one who compels men to look for men, compel your helpers to send for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And on the third day, the Bible says that an angel came and rolled the stone and sat on it for the King of Glory to come out. The kind of angelic assistance you need. Shelakapos kedata, embrekete bakatos yata. By the privilege of the grace that comes through redemption, let angelic activities be dispatched for your sake. Are they not ministering spirits? Stand to they that be the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. He said, our brother Lazarus sleepeth. Let us go and wake him. When they got to the tomb, he said, roll away the stone. It took a man to roll away the stone. There are some stones that men must roll away. Financial stones. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, all stones be rolled away. The Bible says, for as he is, so are we in this life. If he came out of the grave, then I prophesy upon you, like the bones in the valley of Ezekiel, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy as I've been commanded. Bones, find your bone and be restored to an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Please hear me. The Bible says, when Lot, judgment was about to be declared over Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was with his daughters there. Are we together? When the angels came, the men came and wanted to sodomize the angels. And Lot even offered, he said, take my daughters. And the people refused. And the angels struck them with blindness. My Bible says they wearied themselves at the door. You can be close to the door, but if your eyes are not open, that you are close to the door, but it will still not open. The miracle of open eyes. The Bible says, then open ye their understanding, that they might understand scripture. In the name of Jesus, may the King of glory open your understanding. Access to light. Paul was praying over the church in Ephesus. Chapter 1 from verse 16. He says, I bow my knees to the Father of our glory, of glory, that he may grant unto you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Knowledge is not revelation. It is knowledge and understanding that becomes revelation. You can have knowledge and awareness and yet not have revelation. The eyes of your understanding, he says, being flooded with light that ye may know. For these 40 years, every door God has opened for our Father, we stand by the privilege of connection and by the privilege of the altar here. I decree, standing on his grace, every door that did not close for him, it will not close for you. Every door that opened for him across the nations, may it be open for you. Hallelujah. For these 40 years, death could not come to him. Therefore, I declare, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, every covenant with death, Job said he will deliver you in 6 things, yes, 7 things. One of it is the scourging tongues of men. If there is any tongue speaking against you to bring you to the grave, I declare, be escaped like the bird before the fowler. Hallelujah. Now, please listen, everyone. I've been given the permission to do this, and I just want to do this. Just help those under the anointing. When Cornelius, please listen carefully. When Cornelius, the Bible called him a centurion, and he said he was a devout man who feared God. I hope you know that the salvation of the Gentiles started in Acts chapter 10. And it came through the wings of a man who understood 2 things. Heaven commended that the basis for that visitation was based on, number 1, the strength of his prayer, and number 2, the strength of his giving. As powerful as God's redemption plan is, it rode upon the wings of a supposed ordinary man. You would think the salvation of the Gentiles should happen through a mighty apostle and a prophet. But it came to a military man only because he satisfied 2 conditions. The health of his priesthood and his benevolence towards blessing men. If he could bless men, then he could be a worthy tool even for the kingdom. Now please hear me. When it has to do with the subject of giving, I submit to you, shamefully but truthfully, that many people have been wrongly manipulated within the body of Christ, and sometimes it's even an ugly concept. When we talk about it, it's very ugly because people have merchandised the gospel. Sadly, we know God is forging and helping his church. Are we together? However, I will tell you this. The Bible says a son honoreth his father, and one of the principles of honor is giving with understanding. For if giving is by manipulation, there is no reward. Are we together? The Bible says, he that sows sparingly, he shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Then it says, every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, cheerfully and not grudgingly, For God loves a cheerful giver. The next verse says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that ye, having sufficiency in all things, that you will abound in every good work. I can tell you this. There are mysterious principles that lift men in this kingdom. Among them is connecting to prophetic patriarchal blessings through giving with understanding. 40 years is a very prophetic number, because it means the end of a season of training. The end, 40 years gives way to 10 more years that declares jubilee. At the end of 40 years, a man is now authorized to enter his season of appearing. It's a prophetic number. Are we together? And I want to challenge us to give, beginning from myself. I will not preach what I don't believe. I will not preach what I don't understand. I will not preach what I don't agree with. I have preached and we have spoken about the King of Glory. The entire plan of redemption was given. That God carried his son as a seed and sowed him to the earth. And as a result, he's today received many sons into glory. I want to challenge you. I've already agreed with God even before I came here. I will tell you the truth. I fear God. I will stand before God. I will not be a party to anything that does not glorify Jesus Christ. But I want to challenge us to give. And this giving is twofold. Number one, to honor this work and to honor these 40 years. To tap into this grace that God has so lavishly granted our father and our mother. But number two, I want to challenge you. We are sowing into the anointing of our father. It is not compulsory. It is by revelation. But I can tell you, this is the mystery behind the rising of many people. I know that this principle works if done with understanding. I'm not going to give you any amount. I may not have the liberty to do that, and I apologize. But I'm going to challenge you. I already have my seed for the convention. Not to announce for pride, my apologies, but just to challenge our hearts, and my seed for our father. I would never come to see our father and not hold a seed. The reason why it does not work for us men of God is that we tell people to do it, but we don't do it. That is the truth. The same Lord is rich unto all. Anyone who does this in truth and with understanding, I know the things that have changed in my life. Once upon a time, some of you may have heard my stories, when I met two women, Daddy, and I was going to buy sugarcane, and the women were standing there like our mommy, and I pleaded, I said, I will pay for you, just to honor them, not looking for anything. And one of those mama looked at me. They were blessing, and I didn't really pay attention, but she looked at me with audacity and said, my son, forever walk upon gold. This was what she spoke to my life. It was in a city, midwifing Kwara State and Ekiti State. I returned from preaching many years ago in Afe Babalola University. On my way returning to Kwara to take a flight down, you know, to Abuja and then return back home, I decided to stop in a small village there where I saw that people lived mysteriously long. I saw the obituary, 100 and something. Every time you see repetition of patterns, there is a grace supporting it there. Are we together? The Bible says, for this purpose, many are weak, sick, and do sleep. What is the sin? Not discerning the body. There are spiritual investments that reside within the body that through honor and discernment, you can tap into it. I was a man of God, but I had to throw that away. When I stopped, I couldn't speak Yoruba. So I pleaded that they should look for someone. I said, who is the oldest man now in this city? My apologies that I'm taking some time, sir. My sincere apologies. But I just want to charge our hearts so that we can receive. I stopped there and I saw a man, 136 years. He had just died. I couldn't believe it. In Nigeria? I know the kind of call God has for me. The kind of my call is close to death perpetually. So when I find an anointing for longevity, I tap into it with wisdom. Are we together? I've been in the midst of many crises right from the time in Zaria and the north, even before the Lord brought me. I know what it means to be close to the gates of death. I know men are preserved by the wisdom they have. Are we together? And I carried a seed, and I saw some women there, and we finally got a man who was speaking limited English. And I said, please, they should take us to anybody who is the oldest there. We entered a room, and there was a man, I think he was maybe probably a senior apostle. He looked like a man of God. And I was talking, and they would interpret. And we said, Baba, we are men of God, and I just want to come and honor you and to have you bless us. He sat on his chair and laughed and said, kneel down. See, those who have this thing know they have it. This is a true story. I got down on my knees with my seed, and he began to speak in Yoruba. I didn't hear one thing he said, but I felt like a crown was being put upon my head. Once that was done, I got up, sowed the seed and blessed him. Going to go and enter the car, I saw the women that were standing. And I said, let me go and appreciate them. And they now told me, this 136-year-old man who died, that was his wife standing. No glasses, no stick, no nothing. The wife of his youth. I went back. I said, madam, he may have died, but the Bible says two shall become one. So he's still alive in you. Pray for me again. This is a true story. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. The woman tapped me and said, follow me. I walked with her and we entered a room, daddy. And when we entered that room, she started showing us pictures. She was the wife of his youth. And you know, they married very early. That woman remained with him like that till the final days. And I said, mama, please, can you pray for us? She took off her shoes and said, kneel down. She stood on barefoot on the ground. And for the next 15 minutes, she was praying. I can tell you, I am a product of many anointings. And it did not just come through prayer. That's the point I'm trying to show you. Some came through prayer. Some came through prophetic seed connection with understanding. Forget about the abuses here and there and some of the mistakes people have made. I want to challenge someone right now. May I please request if we can display the ministry account number? I don't know how we are going... Okay, beautiful. I don't know how we're going to do it. For those who have a prophetic seed, particularly for our father and our mother, may I please encourage you by the message of God. You may want to label it. You may want to get the account details. I don't know how the officials will coordinate it. But I'm going to pray. May I encourage everyone to sow something? I want to pray right now. A transfer, you can make whatever it is. Whether it is now or later, just a word. I have the permission to do this, and I just want to do this, and then we step down. It's an honor for us to do this, to do it with understanding. Hallelujah. Those who are following online, you love our Father in the Lord, Bishop Wale Oke, and his dear wife. You believe in what is happening here, and you are tapping into that grace, sowing into his life, and sowing into the vision and the conference. We're about to pray. Hallelujah. I'm standing in faith by the privilege of God's grace alongside every great man of God here, fathers of faith here represented, and together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been privileged to be partakers of the grace upon our Father, we want to pray. Hallelujah. You can use the account details. You have your seed there. You can sow. I may not necessarily ask you to come out, but I want to challenge you to really, really sow from the depth of your heart. Your church can sow, your business can sow, as an individual you can sow, but make sure you do it with understanding and revelation. It is not the activity that produces results. It is the understanding and the purity of heart that supports what you are doing. Let's pray. Father, again we stand upon the grace that you have so lavishly invested upon our father and our mother and upon this great vision. Lord, I stand in partnership with every man and woman of God in this place, veterans of the gospel. And Lord, together as a united family, we thank you for the gift of our father, Daddy Wale Oke, and our mother. We thank you in the name of Jesus for this great vision, 40 years of exploits even by the Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have challenged your people to sow, to honor our parents, to sow, to honor the work. Therefore, Lord, I stand by the privilege of this call and by the privilege of this grace. I declare, for everyone who has given, is giving, and will give, may the God of heaven, who answers by the name Jireh, may he visit you. In the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy to you, like the prophet said over Samaria, for some of you, by this time tomorrow, in the name that is above all names, may the Lord turn your captivity and give you joy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Like Elijah spoke to the woman in Shunem, I speak to you, your bread will not be spent. In the name of Jesus Christ. When men say there is a casting down for you, let it be that there is a lifting up. Paul, explaining the mystery of the seed, said God is able to give your seed another body. You are sowing money, reap favor. You are sowing money, reap wisdom. You are sowing money, reap restoration. May God give your seed another body. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The level at which you have given, you will never go below it. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for you, for every soul that is won through your seed, for every life that is mentored and transformed, for every activity that makes for kingdom advance, that is sponsored by your seed, may it rise as a memorial for you in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord bless you as you sow and increase you in the name of Jesus. Daddy, thank you again. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Give the Lord a big hand. Please give the Lord a big, big hand. Please give the Lord a big hand. Give him a big hand. Pastor Yomi, let there be music. Let's give everybody now. Now listen to this. I didn't plan to step on this altar today. If you watch it in the morning, after the graduation, I didn't step in, but the water is stirred. And it's a very, very prophetic moment. The man who's bringing the next word is in the house. I recognize Pastor Oju Uyemade. Please give him a big hand. I recognize him. But I want the very, very important activity of giving to be concluded. It's the ordinary giving. Your seed is very precious. The offerings of God's people are sacred. So, Yomi, give us music. Let's sing. Don't go yet, son. Give us music. Give your offering properly from your heart, with understanding, to the Lord. Then we'll do something. Praise the Lord. Yomi, are you there? Come on now. Thank you.
You are the mighty God, the great I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Hallelujah. Thank you.
mighty God. Jesus, you are the mighty, mighty, mighty God. You are the living God. You are the glorious one. We are the Kuroko. We are the Kakuraka. Oyamiye, oyamiye, obaladara, obatotobi, olorunwaye raye. Ah, oye nebe ma ni kwipere nala chineke. Come on, sa, 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 sa. Somebody shout Igwe. Hey, come on, What in Bolombo? Oh, yeah, everybody, people, and I'll ask you again. Ah, he way. I will lift up Jesus.
Somebody give the Lord a shout of joy. If you have not been able to give your offering, give a wave. Let me see you. You have not been able to. Okay, all of us have. Now, give me a few minutes. In the period of praying, preparing for this convention, the Lord particularly spoke to me. It is going to be a generational shift convention. It's going to be a generational shift. Forty represents a generation in the scripture. So we took it seriously to really pray, to really seek the face of the Lord. And he spoke. He said many things about that. And as I sat down there listening to my son preach, joy bubbled within me. The future of a church in Nigeria is glorious. Listen to this. Boko Haram is no problem. Let me hear you, amen. Banditry is no problem. Let me hear you, amen. Or the kidnapping, no problem. They're happening, they're real. But church, be careful. Let's not enter into their territory. Let's not reply with hate and bitterness. That's not our domain. We're in the domain of love. They're in the domain of hate. If you cross over from our domain to their domain, we will lose. Because that is not our native territory. We're not fitted for it. We cross over into the domain of hate, bitterness. My friend, we are like fish out of water. But we stay in the domain of love. And we unleash the ability of the King of Glory. What's Boko Haram? Recently I was praying and thinking about this. The rate at which Muslims were getting born again in the 70s, in the 80s, was serious. But since people began to respond in hate, Something is happening to that. Must go back to our domain. Let's go back. That apart. A few years ago, I think about 12 years or so, there are witnesses here. And I was standing, man of God, Professor Peter Wagner, traveled down to Nigeria shortly before he died and called a meeting of apostolic leadership in Nigeria. We held this meeting in my friend's church covenant, sorry, office, Bishop David Oyedepo in Ota. All the apostolic fathers, the Pentecostals were there. Pastor Oyedepo, Dr. Omar Pai, Bishop Michael Konko, we were there. And Peter Wagner, professor of church growth, he said certain things. He said, I'm a professor of church growth. I studied the move of God all across the world together with my team. He said, there is no nation on earth where the move of God is so strongly felt like it is in Nigeria. He said, wait. Yeah, you will clap. I'm saying something. I'm going somewhere. He said, we studied it. Bishop Akre, you were in that meeting. He said, no nation on earth. He said, we studied everything. He said, but God woke me up in the night and said, go and tell the apostolic leaders of the church in Nigeria that they must not allow what happened to the revival in Korea to happen to them. That Korea used to have the revival fire glowing all over the world. Everybody wants to go to Korea. But now it has become a heap of ashes. And if the apostolic leaders in Nigeria are not warned, what happened to Korea will happen again in Nigeria. Go warn them. That was his last trip to Nigeria before he died. Oh, we were all in tears. Everybody. Everybody. We're just praying and praying and praying, asking God to help us. And then the Lord spoke that the church in Korea went through that disaster because there was a disconnect between the fathers who received the unction, the anointing, and the mantle for revival and the next generation. They didn't carry the next generation along. And revival died. Now, I've shared this a couple of places. Pastor, would you please permit me? You trust the prophetic grace of my life. You have your time today. But please kindly come up. Please come. Come. Let's clap for me. Give me. Can I have another microphone? Don't go. Music, don't go. Give me the ministry. Stay there. It's a prophetic moment. You know, it's a prophetic moment. He was telling me something. I went to preach for him at his annual pastor's conference a few days ago. And there was a gentleman from Singapore who told him something about what I just told you now with statistics. I want you to share. This is very, very serious. And what is happening here today, this man represents a new generation, a generation. Listen. You know, we've had Baba Adeboye, great things God are doing with him and his peers. Pastor Kumi Yanko. My friend David Oyedepo is going to be here tomorrow morning. He was with me 40 years ago, Brother David, when we had the first Holy Ghost convention. He will tell you with his mouth tomorrow. You have something. How many of you had Baba Adeboye yesterday that your generation will be greater than his own generation? How many of you had it? And listen to me. If you are talking of anybody in the body of Christ globally, outstandingly great, Adeboye is one. It took a church, struggling classical Pentecostal church, 32 small parishes. Now they are in 200 nations of the world. In Nigeria alone, there are over 38,000 parishes. If you're talking of greatness, that's it. But when he said, as a generation that will be greater than his, that's very, very prophetic. Because God takes his people from glory to glory. You will see greater glory. Some people are hearing me now. You will be greater than Adeboye. You'll be greater than Oyedepo. And but listen, I want pastor to tell us in summary what that man said. He just told me there now. And you see the significance of what we want to do now. Please, over to you, Pastor Quetch. Yes.
Well, what he said was that in 1955, in South Korea, the population was 4% Christians. It was a Buddhist country. By 1985, which was 30 years after, because of the revival, the Christian population was now 34%, and it was on the rise. By 2015, that Christian population had diminished to 22%. But the significant thing is that among the young generation, only less than 3% profess Christianity. So the next generation is back to Buddhism.
They're back to Buddhism. Now, son, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to invite some people. I have some key officials of PFN here today. By the grace of God, when Baba spoke to you yesterday and he referred to me as his commander-in-chief, that's how he called me. When I became national president of PFA, Baba looked at me. He said, son, you are my commander-in-chief now. He said, as far as I am concerned and the entire Redeemed Christian Church of God, it is what to say that we will do. And Baba doesn't play with words. I felt like crawling under the ground. And since that time, he has stood solidly. Every instruction we give, Baba would just, you know. He said, he told us that he has shown us how to lead. Now he will demonstrate how to follow. That's something. All right. Now, I'm representing over 65 million Pentecostals. So I will invite some of our officials. I have one of our directors here, Pastor Femi Emmanuel. Please join me on the altar. Bishop David Bakare, please join me on the altar. Prophet Adelowoka. Prophet, where are you? Prophet Adelowoka. Wave your hand wherever you are. Prophet Adelowoka. Adelowoka. Osu. Okay, please join me here. There's an elder statesman here who saw the old revival. You know, Dr. Lekan Obatunde, please come join us here. Come. Dr. Lekan Obatunde, please join us here. I'm going to invite Pastor Koju because you are the link. You are the link. Between our generation and his generation. And we want to unleash this generation to the world. And listen to this. We connected. We did a meeting, PFF, from glory to glory. That was prophetic. Psalm 145, verse 4. Psalm 145 verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another. The revival that God has graciously given us in Nigeria shall never die. 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 It will go from generation to generation. And it will engulf the world. In the mighty name of Jesus. On this man, please surround this man of God. Everybody stretch your hands. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Just pray. Pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray loudly. 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 Mapatoko ripe keto koba gaboguda gai gaboguda. Mengle boko de keto kori kele boko di ketoria. Mengle boko di kete boko ri kide bato te tariga. Mengle boko di kete kere bogoda. Parababo papale boko de kete yelele. Ye kete kere bogodia kete gode. Terebo faila unifica. Ketu keto koroba. Orama kapo kone keta. Baribo kone keto keto. Orabo kone keto rebo kone. Pupipe keto kote kerea. Baribo kone kete kera. Paida mo, paide mo, kaule mo. Shekerebo koba kapo. Keraba jaba. Mamba rebo kone. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. By apostolic authority, we unleash you and your generation to the world. If Elisha carried the double portion of the grace and glory on Elijah, we command the multiple portion of the anointing that God has placed upon the fathers in Nigeria to fall upon you and your generations. Go with might. Go with grace. Go with strength. Nations will bow before you. The enemies of Zion shall be crushed under your feet. You and your generation, you will ignite global revival. Global revival. Global revival. Global revival. Global revival. As we pray for you, we ask for that mantle of grace, glory, and power for end time revival to fall upon people of your generation. Whether they be here or they are watching from their homes or wherever they are in the world, receive the mantle. You carry the fire. Carry the fire. We speak over your life, Joshua Selman, you will not fall. You will not stumble. You will be gathered with the strength of El Shaddai. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He will hold your hand. Beyond your capacity or wisdom or ability shall be the great exploits you will do. Nations will bow before you. Nations will bow before you. You'll be a major instrument of revival globally. 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 Globally, great doors are open to you. Go with grace. Go with strength. go with might. It is established irreversibly. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give him a shout.